Have you ever wondered how they got their start? What motivates them every morning to go out and do their thing? Where did they get their creative inspirations from? What drives them to continue to do good for those individuals in the community? If these are thoughts that you've had, I want you to sit back, relax, and listen to your hosts, Orlando and Julian, have a candid conversation on the Invincibly Broken podcast with these amazing individuals. Julian, what's up, buddy? How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, bro. How you doing today?
You know, living the dream. I could complain, but I don't think anybody in the world really cares when we make complaints.
That's right. We don't sign the paychecks.
No, we don't. But at least we get one.
That is true.
That is true. So we have a great guest for the show today. It's a good friend of mine and someone that I thought would be really interesting to talk to. She's an individual that is highly focused on health, physical health, mental health. She's out there trying to educate every day on social media and via her blog. So no further ado, I would love to introduce everybody to Vanessa Cuddy. Small applause. So Vanessa, tell us a little bit about yourself and what exactly it is that you do.
Okay. So the best way I always kind of like explain myself, and it comes up a lot, especially when I have to do like interviews for clients and blog stuff and whatever, is I have a mantra I love to say, which is I am, or it's called So Hum in yoga. And it's one of those things because I feel like I wear so many different hats. I'm not like just one type of person. And I'm not just one like thing that I do every single day. So the biggest thing I do is I work through movement with people. So I train people either physically, mentally, spiritually. I have about 18 certifications in the fitness, yoga, Pilates world. I'm a mom of two kids who have severe food allergies and have had lots of health issues in the past couple of years. And then I'm a wife, I'm a sister, so many different things, but
a woman of many talents.
I wear so many hats, and it's funny because I was talking to my husband and I was like, well, what's like the biggest thing? Like, I feel like I'm going onto the show and it's a podcast by men for men, right? Invincibly Broken. And like, what am I going to provide for them? You know, as far as like a female coming on the show. And, you know, like the biggest thing I took away was like, I don't think it's a matter of male versus female. I feel like we all go through the same things, whether it's fitness, addictions, or, you know, mental health, things like that, because, you know, like I've struggled with so many different things over the years. And when you break it down, like we're all pretty similar. It's just a matter of like, if we're going to be vocal about it, right? And I think vocal is the hardest part because that's vulnerability. And that's kind of like, to most people, vulnerability is like showing their weakness. So it's like, ugh, like I don't want to let them in, to let them know exactly what's going on in behind my closed doors. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that I have been drawn to so much in the past, probably like 2 years of just like really opening up to help people, because I feel like so much is judged from the outside. So it's like, once you open that door and kind of explore like other people and understand their story, you can't be mad at them anymore, right? And you can't be upset with, well, like, I get it. Like, I get you are the way you are. And it's like, what are the tips and tricks or the toolbox you have to make you feel better? So
absolutely.
That's the journey I've been on. I'm an influencer on, you know, social media, mostly because I'm obsessed with makeup and fashion. I've been since I was three, literally been wearing makeup since I was 3 years old. But I enjoy that. So it's kind of like my side, like hobby hustle. And then since COVID started, I decided to start a podcast because I just felt like it was one of those things where I could just be kind of vocal. I had a blog. Well, I still have the blog, I should say. But it's so funny because so many of my clients who know me, they're like, Vanessa, you can write, but you speak way better when just like off the cusp. Like, I think a podcast would be better. And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And so then I finally just bit the bullet and that's where I am today. So
that's kind of. And that's funny because Orlando is very similar like that because he can definitely speak, but he can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I am all charm. And as it comes out of silver tongue, gold tongue, platinum. I have all the levels. I could talk my way in and out of anything, but you put a piece of paper in front of me or you want me to type out an essay? I can't even get past the grammatical part of it, let alone putting my ideas on paper.
I'm not too bad with putting things on
Grammarly
paper. Grammarly
just goes like, I have nothing for you, but I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned that coming into like COVID with your clients and so you start a podcast, which is very similar to where Orlando and I kind of birthed this podcast that we're currently doing.
By C-section or naturally?
We'll go naturally. Okay. We'll go naturally. But so you mentioned that you're, you know, your certifications, you're going everything. So what is the ratio as male, female that you have as far as your clients? Do you have more female clients? Do you have more male clients?
So when I train one-on-one, I actually have more male clients than I do female. Social media wise, it was like 80-20 men to women. And then I kind of cleaned up my blog a little bit and went through some things and really kind of got away from the whole stigmatism of like what you look like, right? And I kind of cleaned that up and really started like promoting more female stuff. So then it flipped. So now I'm like, I think it's like 70-30 now, female to male. And then podcast, it's like 50-50.
Okay. So now my follow-up question on that, with you having a large male percentage of your client base. Mm-hmm. We had a few episodes ago talking about body image. Mm-hmm. Is that an issue that is becoming more like, are they being more open with you as far as like the body image, as far as the male? Okay, well, I have this. I mean, I know as guys, we always talk about, the gut, whatever, but are they being more specific with you as far as, you know, I would like to target this particular area versus another area?
So when I first start with most of my clients, especially the guys, they kind of are very vague, like, oh, I just wanted to get in shape, or my wife sent me.
Imagine that.
Right. And so then me, because like I tell everybody, nobody just wakes up and says, tomorrow I'm going to gain 60 pounds, right? Or tomorrow I'm going to, you know, do a shitty job. Like no one wakes up and says that. So there's something that's happened that's triggered. So I start digging and that's why I do a lot of time. Just so you know,
there's been a few times where I wake up and say, I want a half a dozen of donuts.
Exactly.
For sure.
But right.
Never thought about the repercussions afterwards.
But it's true. Like, so people don't wake up and say that. So to me, when people start, or especially guys come to me, I start digging in, like, what is it you're wanting to work on? And, you know, I keep getting the whole, like, well, just overall, well, no, like there's something, like, what is it? Like, what, if I had to break down to you right now, what is something you do not like about yourself? Like when you look in the mirror, is there somewhere that you're like, don't really like that. I want to work on that. And then they'll start to open up. And then we start to get into the reasons why, because, I actually had a podcast about this where I used to love watching The Biggest Loser years ago. And I always used to be like fascinated by them, but Jillian Michaels used to piss me off. Cause I'd be like, she's so mean. Like, gosh, like why does she do that? And like, she's always digging into their personal life. And then once I became a trainer, I was like, oh, I get it. Because you digging into their personal life is the reasons why they are the way they are, right? It's the reasons why they gained the weight they gained or did what they did. Like even for me, like I gained 65 pounds. And it took me, you know, several years to lose that weight. And there was a reason why I gained the weight. And the reason was because of my depression. It was because of myself. I had no self-love, no self-esteem. And so I was numbing. I was numbing all the time. So I was just eating, drinking, smoking, whatever. And so, but for most guys, they are becoming more and more vocal and more open about it.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, I've even had clients who were between 400 to 500 pounds. And, wow. You know, like it's, you know, what is it you don't like about you? Yeah. Well, you know, I don't like the way I look.
It's really tough for men. I mean, like women have always been more vocal just about any subject in their lives, right? Like you girls will sit around, you'll go shopping together and you'll put on a pair of jeans and the girl be like, girl, you look good. I'm like, nah, bitch, my thighs are too big. My ass is too fat. You look better. Put these jeans on. And it's always like that back and forth and you talk about it and you're not afraid of speaking of certain body parts and stuff. Like, you know, I wear this red lipstick because I like the way it accentuates my lips. It makes me look fuller. Like dudes don't talk about stuff like that at all. And it's really funny because I know when I get dressed, when I get focused on like what I want to wear or how I barely ever was clean shave for a long time because I have a fucking double chin. And I used to always feel like you'd see it more when I clean shaved I wear a lot of V-neck t-shirts. A lot of people are like, why do you wear V-neck t-shirts? And I'm like, I don't know. I think they look more slimming on me than a crew neck t-shirt. But these are things that I think of in my head. I would never, if me and Julian were at the mall, I'd be like, nah, man, you know, this is makes me look skinnier. He'd be like, fuck's wrong with you? You know, before we had this podcast, now we'd probably be a little more open about the conversation. But, you know, it's fascinating because the couple things you mentioned, like one, men are talking about it more now, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that as that older generation is starting to push out into that 55 plus, and we got that, you know, you have the millennials
die.
The millennials have always been talking about their feelings and stuff like that. And then you have, I guess, the generation Xers like myself and Julian, and I think you, Vanessa, because I think we're around the same age. But not to throw you out there or anything. But okay.
I'm still 25 though.
Still 25, yeah. But
how many years of experience?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. So you know, it's funny because like it's that middle ground. But we always find it like, especially with this podcast, right? So, and I don't know, and I think we've talked offline, and I told you a little bit about us. Like when Julie and I first started this, it was for fun. It was right. Like we wanted to make fun of headlines and COVID and whatever, you know, but we wanted it.
Ghetto anchors.
But we wanted to be entertaining, but we wanted to be thoughtful in some of the stuff that we put out there and talk about things that people want to talk about. Cause I mean, why do you listen to a podcast? To get a point of view from a real person, not a superstar who makes billions of dollars in a mansion in Malibu. But, you know, we decided to talk about our history of depression and our ongoing battles with depression, right? Because that's something that doesn't really just go away. It stays with you because you always remember that. And it was really surprising. Like, first off, when I brought it to Julian's attention, it was like a mutual idea. And we were kind of like, we could do this. But when we recorded it, it was tough. Like, coming up with, like, talking. There was a lot of pauses and stuff like that. And, you know, these are conversations that I didn't even have with some of my family members, you know, and a lot of people didn't even know because, I mean, I'm usually a pretty jovial individual. I'm always happy-go-lucky and you know, try to stay strong. And the feedback that we got was incredible. Like, we literally aired it and our phones were, like, blowing up. People texting us, DMing us, like, wow, that was a great episode, or dude, I didn't know you were going through that. I never knew the way you never show it. And then we've had people open up to us and tell us that they've gone out and gotten help, you know, because of
vulnerability is huge. I think that's what most people are gravitating towards now is the vulnerability of other people. I mean, the more open I've noticed even for myself that I become, the more people are like, oh, like I can't. Like I said, like you can't be mad at them. Mm-hmm. You understand their story. And when you hear and know someone's story, and then you also resonate with it. And I think that's the other big thing is like knowing you're not alone. I think, especially right now, because we all have been so isolated and have been away from each other to now be like, oh, like not alone. And somebody else has gone through this. Like I feel so much more comfort. And then now I can have someone to have an outlet, right? And for someone to listen to, or someone to help push me through. I think it's such a huge thing.
I haven't told you this, Julian, but I think, you know, it's something else that I found really funny. Have you, Julian, you as a guy that we've talked about these feelings that we've had in this, in like depression, anxiety and mental health and all this stuff, even body image. Do your friends, wives or girlfriends tell their husbands or boyfriends to be like, you should talk to Julian because he has no problem talking about those sort of things. You should really talk to him. Because I've had a couple guys come up to me or their significant others, like, will you talk to him? Because obviously you're on the right path of having these conversations.
That's an interesting conversation question that you asked me, because generally I work with assholes. So even their spouses really don't go that way. I mean, I have had questions about as far as like what you mentioned before, as far as like, wow, you know, I didn't know that you were going through that. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm not made of rubber. And things like that. I haven't had those, but I guess my interactions with my coworkers might be a little bit different than, you know, some of the people. But I did have a question to ask you with your clients, and I'm talking about in general, mm-hmm. male, female, whatever, or whatever the 72 other genders out there are. When they come to you and they say, "Hey, Liz, this is what I want," are you seeing a number of just saying, "Hey, look, I just want to get to this point. This is what I want to work on." Or are a lot of clients coming to you because of what I like to call a significant emotional event? Meaning, you know, I just went through this and this will be better for me, for my, you know, my self-esteem, for my outlook, or, you know, do you know what I'm going with?
I know exactly where you're going with this. So here's the thing, because I'm a very spiritual person, like probably 14, 15 years ago, I started my fitness journey, and then I kind of fell into yoga within like probably the second year. And yoga completely like changed me, saved my life, everything. And what I've realized from then is everyone's sent to me on purpose. Like there's not, like we're all guiding each other along the way. True. Right. But every person that comes to me, they come with the, especially if they're not in the intuitive knowing kind of sense mm-hmm. of why they're coming to me, they'll say like, "Hey, you know, I want to work on this." And then I go to, "Well, what is it that we really need to work on? What is it we need to break down?" Like I had one lady come to me, she's had cancer and had all kinds of reconstructive surgery, and she wants to be able to move and feel like at ease and not be in pain. And I literally sat her down, and within the first 10 minutes, we didn't even move. She just started crying. And then next thing you know, I get the whole life story, and we start digging it back and digging it back and digging it back. And they don't even realize that it's a traumatic event that has happened until I start to peel back the layers. I just have this like weird kind of just inner knowing when people come to me, and I can kind of see, especially in your body. It's funny when, even if you've had a traumatic event, there's something in your body that will be off. So for instance, a lot of times if you're having like support issues and you're not mm-hmm. feeling supported financially or just even in, you know, at home, there's a lot of back issues. So people come to mm-hmm. me and they start complaining about back problems, and, you know, I'm not really sure what happened. I think I heard it at work, or I don't know. And then I'm like, "Well, are we not feeling supported? Are we having financial issues? Are we having issues at home? Like, is it on your right side? Is it on your left side?" Because you have a masculine, feminine side of your body. And so then I can kind of dissect from there. I know it's, trust me.
I find it very interesting because
because
it's like me, like when
my back hurts all the time, so I gotta have a conversation with somebody.
You're not feeling supported.
But you know, because I like, for me, like I know, like when I'm stressed, I carry like literally the weight of the world on my shoulders. Like I instantly know
life stressors.
That's exactly where all the tension starts, is right there, and then I start getting like muscle spasms and knots mm-hmm. and it's ridiculous. So I totally believe that. So I have a question for you, Vanessa. you talked about your journey that you started 14 years ago and how yoga saved your life. So why did you start the fitness journey, and what was the mechanism that is that you feel that it saved your life?
So if I go back to actually when we met,
me and you?
Yeah.
That's a long time ago, girlfriend.
I know. So it's like, what, 2001?
One? Yeah. I met you I met you shortly after 9/11. I'm almost positive, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, was it then? I thought it was before then, but
it could have been.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know why, but I just remember you being around that time. Like,
yeah.
It was a blur, but whatever.
Yeah. Oh, and it was funny because my husband asked me the other day, he's like, did you guys have class together? I'm like, I don't remember. I'm like, we either had class together. We had like similar friends. Yep. But
we had like one Daytona Beach. Yeah. Daytona Beach.
Oh yeah. It was Daytona. Mm-hmm. Good hole. Oh, that's another story. But anyway,
the armpit of Florida. Don't at me.
Oh my God. That's literally where my downfall happened. And so it's funny because that's what I talked about in my very first podcast. And it was the first time I've been open and honest about it because it's been a secret I've kept for years. But shortly after we met, I got heavy into drugs. And so I had to go to rehab. And after that, I decided that I was going to change my life. Like I could no longer go down the path I was going down, and I couldn't keep up with the lies, the shitstorm I was in.
If you don't mind me asking, Vanessa, what kind of drugs? Because I know some people, and the reason why I ask is because I know a lot of people out there that listen that are battling addictions and stuff like that. Sometimes they feel like there's no end to it. So maybe you can relate to somebody specifically.
Oh yeah. No, I got heavy into ecstasy and cocaine. And it was not a good battle. I mean, I went from when you met me, I was probably like 120, 130 pounds. I went down to 90 pounds and I was a hot mess. And I just could not get my life together. And so went to rehab and got out of there. And then I battled with depression for years after that. I had depression before that, which is what kind of led into the whole numbing situation, because it was what kind of made me feel better. And so right after that, I got clean and moved away, went to college in Gainesville, and said to myself, like, I've got to do something. And one of my friends took me to a gym, and I was like, all right, like, this is cool. Like, I like the way I feel. This feels amazing. And then I came back. Actually, we moved to Orlando. And when we moved here, I told my sister one day, she came home and brought me a magazine. I was just crying. And I was like, I'm so heavy. I've gained all this weight. I can't get it off, you know? And she's like, yeah, but you're clean and sober. Like, we've got to, you know, go to where you're there. And I'm like, okay. And she gave me a magazine and was like, here. I remember I just got down on the floor and started working out. And I was like, oh, I like this. And I remember waking up the next day and being like, I actually like the way I feel.
It was like a fitness magazine, like a fitness magazine.
It was like Shape magazine or something, you know, and it had like those little tear outs where it's like, you know, do bridges and do fire hydrants and whatever. Yeah. And so I did those. And I remember waking up the next day and being like, oh my God, I'm sore. Like, I feel so good. Like, I like this feeling. And then I was in college again, because I still hadn't finished. And so I was at Valencia. And so I was taking classes there and I was like bombing my classes, just not doing well. And so I started taking all of my stuff, like schoolwork, to the gym. And I would go to my sister had an apartment complex gym, and I would take all my schoolwork there and be on like the elliptical or treadmill. And all of a sudden all my grades went like through the roof. I got straight A's. And I was like, I was literally failing every class. So the fact that I was working out and doing this, I was like, wow, this is actually working. Like, I need movement. So I then went to going to the gym all the time, and I lost 20 pounds, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, I like this. And so then my husband literally fell into my lap at that time, and we got married and had literally my daughter.
Like drunken stumbled into your lap.
Like, I went out. It was funny. I went out with my girlfriend, and she had a work party. And so she was like, will you come with me? And I was like, okay. And so we had to go to Point Orlando. And at Point Orlando, they had it was called the Pac-Man Cafe at the time, which is hysterical because that's my husband's favorite game is Pac-Man. And so his roommate said to him, will you come with me to this work party? And so we literally went to the work party and we were both there. And I remember him, but I don't remember him. Like, I just remember him being back in the corner. Like, I got introduced to him and that was it. Well, his friend and him would not stop calling me and my friend for like a week straight. And finally I was like, all right, we'll go out, whatever. And so we went out and I met him out, and 3 months later we were married.
Wow.
Literally.
In 3 months.
I know.
That's crazy. That's awesome. Isn't I didn't know that. Crazy? That's an awesome story. It's like a sitcom-ish type story.
It really is. It was like, I knew on our first date, I was like, I'm going to marry this guy. And I'm like, oh, this is really weird. Like, I don't know. No, I'm not. Yeah. And I mean, 15 years later, we're still married.
I'm the same way. When I first met my wife, I was like, this is the woman that's going to have my children. Like, it was hands down.
You just know.
But Julian's had that feeling three times. Julian's had that thought three times. But
listen, it's funny.
It's funny that, you know, it's something that I like to talk about a lot. And I've talked to Julian about with physical activity and always staying in movement. A lot of people who I feel struggle with, you know, mental illness or depression, anxiety, whatever, whatever it is, a lot of them are static, right? I really do. Yeah. Like, you get into this funk, right? That's how it starts. And then when you get in this funk, you just feel like everything's against you, that your life sucks. The minute you wake up in the morning, you already know that you're going to have a bad day. And you already pre-plan your entire day to just be full of nothing but shit. And it's crazy how it all correlates together. But like, for me, like, I mean, Vanessa, you knew me when in my early 20s. Julian knew me in my early 20s. Like, it's very seldom that you ever see me down. Like, I'm not an angry person. Like, I like to have a good time. I don't like people who are buzzkills. Like, don't fuck with my flow. Like, I need to have that energy in my personal life. Work, like, I stay away from like coworkers that drag me down. Like, I'd rather work on a project by myself if you're going to be a negative Nancy and stuff like that. But you know, people, the one thing that I've learned since I've started taking my fitness journey is that I know that for the last 7 years I've felt robbed of myself, of my ego, of my confidence, my cockiness, all those things that made me who I was, I lost it. Like, it was gone. Like, after cancer and going through depression, like, it just felt like everything kept clawing away at me. And you know, and all I did was take one ride on a Peloton bike. And literally, I was like, that was kind of fun. And I felt like the instructors were talking to me. Weird, but I know it's designed like that. But I was like, oh, this is my boy. This guy, he's telling me to get moving. And it like sparked this inner competitive side of me that I know I have, that like, you know, like, I've been in sales my entire life. Like, that's been my driving force, is my, you know, how competitive I am. But that sleeping giant, like, dude, that dude was cut off at the knees long time ago. But like, but now I just feel more alive. Like, I feel like I'm always moving. Like, I want to continue to work. And I have I feel like up here in my head, that fog is gone.
Yeah.
When I work out, I feel like I can think better. I think I'm more creative. I look at things from a different light, I guess. Because everything is brighter. I don't know if that really makes sense.
No, because there's the thing I took away from NA meetings years ago, which was move a muscle, move a thought. And it's my daily like mantra throughout the house here, through any clients. I post it on social media probably at least 3 to 4 times a week. I'm always constantly move a muscle, move a thought. Like, if you are in a funk, you get up, you go walk. If you are not feeling good, like, just get up and do a circle. Like, I had this thing with my kids when they were little. When they were having like a bad day, I'd be like, all right, stand up. And they'd stand up. Okay, put your hands up in the air. Okay. And then they'd turn around. All right, turned around. And they'd be like, what is that? I'd be like, you just turned your day around. So now let's think differently. Like, how do we do this? Like, how do we change? But it works. And instantly, especially like with your 5-year-old, I'm telling you, Julian, like, literally make her stand up, put her hands up. turn her day around. She will literally change, and her mentality will change because she thinks that that really turned her whole day around. But that's the thing, is like most of us get so caught up with like, I'm in this funk. I can't see out of the funk. And I listened to this one spiritual teacher. Her name is Abraham Hicks. And she always talks about going with the flow. And she's like, so do you want to go upstream or do you want to go downstream? Like, you want to go downstream because you want to be going with the flow. She's like, if you're always trying to pedal and go up, like your oars are going to get stuck somewhere. You're going to be like, just, you're trying so hard when it doesn't have to be that hard. Like if you would just flip it, you could go right along with the flow, but it's changing your thinking, and it's how to make that craziness stop in your head. Which, like yesterday, my husband and I, because of COVID and, you know, him being out of work and everything, we were in this like hot mess. And so then we're like, we're both talking and like, what are we going to do? What about this? And I was like, you know what? Let's go for a walk. And instantly, I mean, 4 miles later, don't get me wrong, it was quite the walk. But instantly after that, we were like, okay, like it's going to be fine. We're going to figure it out. We're going to make the next steps. But we just had to go move because we knew if we sat here and just talked, like it wasn't going to do us any good. And we knew if we just didn't move our bodies in some way, you just feel stuck. So no, I completely agree. Like you do, you feel lighter, you feel better. I mean, I say to people all the time, I'm seriously addicted to my Peloton. I live on that damn thing. Some days I take 5 classes, some days I take 2, some days I take 1. It just depends. Like, but yeah, they do, they talk to you. And I think that's one of the things I love the most, because the way they talk is the way I talk. Like when I teach my classes, even when I teach at a Pilates studio here, I do the same thing. I'm like, so if our hip is not feeling well, why? Why are you going to let that be your hurdle? Like use that as your fuel. Like, and so it's so fun for me because I'm like, oh, it's like me teaching to myself.
So just so you know, my 5-year-old, I loan her on the weekends. So if you're interested, let me know.
We all need a break, Julian, once in a while.
Listen. I got a 14 and a 10-year-old. They're a handful.
I got a 26, a 16, a 15, a 9, and a 4, and a 5.
That's called a herd, Julian.
Yeah. You're a busy man.
I think it's worth mentioning what you talked about, moving upstream all the time, right? Because you have the upstream and you talked about downstream, right? And then you have in the world of wherever you work, is corporate America or however you always have people that, why do you want to be defined by just going with the flow, right? Or everyone try to give that message to full on go against the grain, grit it out. And you really have to find the balance, right? Because I'm the biggest component of working smarter, not harder.
Mm-hmm.
Like I believe in the grind and the hustle and getting out there and putting in work. But you cannot physically sustain that over a long period of time.
No.
If you want to have a family, can't do that. Because there isn't a 5-year-old in the world that understands the hustle. No. And isn't going to give you a break. Because I can't get my kids out of my office when I'm trying to work. That's why I record this podcast when they're sleeping. But I think it's very good advice for people to hear. Like, you want to be ambitious, you want to have goals, and you want to pave your way to those goals, and you want to put in that hard work. I mean, it's no different than getting on a Peloton, getting on the bike, right? And you're going for a 30-minute ride. But if your back hurts when you got on that bike to begin with, if it's substantial pain, it's probably not a good idea for you to do the ride. You should probably take a day of rest, chill out, regroup, maybe the next day take something that's a little more low impact, or maybe do some stretching or yoga or whatever. You have to be very self-aware of yourself, your own capabilities, how you are emotionally and physically when it comes to taking on tasks and goals. And that goes for your relationships, right? With your children and your spouses. It goes for how you deal with the people that you work with, whether it's a team, if you're the boss or your bosses, or even when you're trying to, you know, do something like this, like start a podcast or become an influencer on social media. You really got to know your limits. Like, there's no such thing as pound it out until there's nothing left in you, because there will physically be nothing left of you.
There will be. And it's the one thing, like I said to my husband the other day, like I listen to Gary Vee too a lot. And so does my husband. Yeah. And like I said to him, you know, I'm so proud of Gary Vee. And he was like, why? I was like, because he came back from his vacation and he was like, listen, I think you guys are getting my message mixed up. Like there's a balance. Like you got to be in love with what you do, but you can't be killing yourself. And I think that's what so many people get caught up with is that, like, even for working out, right? Like you get so caught up with like, I've got to put in all these hours and I've got to do all this hard work and you got to keep going. Yep. Well, all you're doing is you're burning the candle at both ends of the stick. So you're never going to get the results you want. Yeah. It's to me, when I talk to people a lot of times, I'm like, it should be easy and effortless. Like if it's not easy and effortless and it doesn't just come to you and it's like you are having to fight for it, then it might not be for you. Like even for me, for the podcast, yes, there's been so many things I've had to learn and teach myself, but every tip, trick, tool I've needed has shown up. It's shown up either surprisingly in a weird email, showed up somehow on Instagram. Like it's just, it's been easier than it has been a fight. But I think that's where most people are like, no, you've got to fight and you've got to put in all these hours and you have to keep doing it. And I'm like, no, you really don't. Like, I think that's where so many people get caught up.
And I used to be in a real big love-hate relationship with Gary Vee. Like I like used to be like, dude, just shut the fuck up and stop telling these people that. But then I remember like, these are like minuscule bites of him talking. And
but can I ask you this? When did you not like him? When you weren't working out, weren't feeling good?
No, I've always had a love-hate relationship with Gary Vee because everything, he's always on.
Yeah.
Always on. Like giving this message, like you got to work 80 hours a week. And I'm like, yes, that's wonderful. If you're 20 and you don't have a family and you know, like I'm sorry, there's not a spouse alive that's going to let you work 90 hours a week and be okay with it. Or there isn't a child alive that your relationship isn't going to falter if you're working 80, 90 hours a week, you know? So I'll go away for a couple of days for work. And my daughter is like, I don't want nothing to do with you because you left me, you know? So I don't like those type of messages of like constant pounding, but I have noticed that a lot of his content now, he's kind of not stepping back, but he's showing the other side of the relaxing. You have to take a step back. You have to regroup. Cause I think either he's losing touch with some of his people that are failing, right? The people who are out there trying to become entrepreneurs and they're just shitting on themselves and they're falling face first because they're trying to open up 8 new businesses and be an influencer for this and try to have their hands in everything. And they're not collectively, they're not getting what the Gary Vee message was saying. So that was my whole thing. You had a question, Julian? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, but I lost it. No, but I mean, and one of those things, I mean, and the both of you just kind of brought it up, is one thing about, you know, self-love, you know, is one thing, but I think self-awareness is also another very big part of the whole equation. As to knowing what your limits are, what your, you know, Orlando brought it up with your family. You know, I have had the luxury that I have not had to travel for my job all that much in the last couple of years, but I know for a big portion of my, you know, my career, I've had to travel quite a bit. Whether it is for a symposium, for, you know, for expo, or even just for ongoing, you know, career development that I've had to leave for, like, you know, a few years ago, I was gone Thanksgiving for one of these things. So I know that those things do wear on a family or even on the individual, but we also have to understand that, okay, we have these things to do, but this is not the ultimate thing. We have to also focus on what's more important because at the end of the day, my job, my career is going to take me so far, but my family, you know, in a perfect Walgreens world will be there forever. So we also right. have to focus on the bigger picture. So, I mean, that's kind of my two cents on that.
100% true. Cause like my husband got laid off, last March, but he technically was laid off till June. And, you know, he was really upset because he was with the company for 14 years. And, he's from Boston. And so we watch, Fever Pitch a lot. And so I always say to him, but did the Red Sox ever love you back? Right. And I'm like, yeah, but did the Red Sox ever love you back? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, your job didn't love you back either. Like you were dispensable anytime. And that's what I've been telling him for 14 years. Cause he was always putting it first. Cause he was so afraid of losing the job and the insurance and then what, you know, and I was like, well, first of all, you manifested that because that's what you thought of all the time. So I'm just going to put that one out there. But I was like, but secondly, like you have to realize like, that's the thing that you're having to work through right now. And that's what we were talking about yesterday was like, that showed up on purpose. Because that's something you had to work through because you were always putting the job, like, I have to do this and I have to do this. And they asked me to go here and they asked me to do this. And I was always like, but you're missing out. Like, you don't realize what you're going to lose in the long run. And even like for me, like we opened a gym 9 years ago and we had the gym for about 2 years. And I finally said to my husband, I was like, I can't. I put myself in the hospital for 8 days because I was so sick from... I mean, I worked from pretty much 5:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. And then my son has all his food allergies and eczema and whatever. So he didn't sleep. So I didn't sleep. So I'm just constantly a walking zombie and then training all the time. I got super sick and put myself in the hospital and, we finally had to close the business because I was like, I can't physically do it. Like I'm burning myself out and I want to watch my kids grow up. Like this is what I came here to do. And this is my job and this is what I love doing. And something else will show up. I know it will. And the minute I closed the gym, I got a job at a yoga studio. Then I had so many clients and he was like, oh, like it's working. I'm like, yes, because I was forcing something, which is what we were just talking about. So kind of like correlates between the two, because when you're forcing it and you're trying to make the job the most important thing, it's not going to work versus when you just kind of like take that moment and step back and you're like, let me go with what I'm supposed to. And I always say like, I just kind of sit back for a moment and I always ask what's for the highest good. Like, give me whatever I'm supposed to do for the next thing, whatever's for the highest good. And then from there, I kind of figure it out. And, I go with the flow, but it's a challenge I think for guys too, because you feel like you're supposed to carry the income, the insurance, you're the breadwinner for the house. So it's like, if you don't have that, you know, that's your identity. And that's what like a big thing for my husband last summer when he got laid off was like, who are you without that job? Like, hi, I'm Mike Cutting, but I'm Mike Cutting no longer this person, right? Like, who are you? Like now you get to redefine yourself, but that's the hardest part is redefining yourself of not being a title.
That's something that Julie and I talk about a lot, actually. And we've sprinkled it in a couple times in some episodes and we've been playing with the idea of talking about it, but that fascination with men and work and that macho-ness, but specifically from if you're Hispanic, right, Julian? Like when you're Hispanic, like, and you're the man, like you're the man, like you're expected to go work 9 jobs, go plow a field, put a suit on, go, you know, go run 8 sales routes. Like it's really interesting how men always define themselves with their career.
Always. And I think that's the biggest stigma that you guys are having to work through the most, especially even right now. Cause I think about how many guys are going through this with COVID, like, holy shit, like who am I without that title? And that's what you have to get comfortable with.
And the thing is, I don't think so much about the career, it's more about the role of a provider.
Yeah.
That's what I think a lot of men struggle with as far as being able to be a provider for their family, you know, make sure that the rent or the mortgage is paid for, the bills are paid for and everything. You know, if we have to eat ramen noodles for breakfast and dinner, it doesn't matter as long as everybody else is taken care of. It doesn't matter. Right. But the problem is with that is that that is actually a very self-destructive way of thinking, because you know, while we are trying to provide for everybody else in a, I don't want to say selfish way, we are actually grinding ourselves down to sand because, you know, if we're going to starve just so our families can be provided for, then that's fine. But then at the end of the day, we don't have that thought of, okay, so what's going to happen if you're not around?
Right.
We don't have that foresight as far as, okay, you're doing this now, but let's take care of you, your health, your well-being, your mental health and stuff like that. That way you're better capable of being that provider as opposed to just...
No, it's 100%.
Just as opposed to just having those blinders on saying that if I'm not a provider, I'm not a man. And that's one of the things that I think men in general struggle with.
It's absolutely. And I know, like, growing up, it's always been that way. Like, my dad was in construction and he, that was the message he told me. Like, you gotta work. Like, he wanted me to get a job at like 12. He's like, you need to go get a job. And my mom's like, yo, pump the brakes. He doesn't need to go get a job. He's a baby or whatever. Or like, I remember when we moved to Florida. So I don't know if I've talked about this before, but for the listeners out there, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York in a concrete jungle. Like, the only piece of grass I ever saw was a baseball field where I played baseball on. And that was it. Like, I never saw like lawns or I've never saw like grassy fields and shit like that rolled through. But when I moved to Florida, we had a house and we had a lawn. And my dad is from Puerto Rico, like the island. So he's used to this shit. So we get there and he buys a lawnmower. And he comes home and he's like, hey, come here. This is your new chores. And I'm like, what chores? And he's like, you're going to mow the lawn. I'm like, no, I'm not going to mow the lawn. And he's like, yeah, you are. I'm like, nah, man, no, you can mow the lawn. I'm not mowing the lawn. I'll find another job. It was like a 2-week argument between me and my dad when I moved down here. Cause I'm like, I still don't fucking mow my own lawn. I pay for that. I don't like mowing lawns. I hate that shit. I pay for this. I gladly pay for the service for someone else to mow my lawn.
100%. I say all the time, because I had somebody asking that at the Pilates studio, and I said, listen, I appreciate that I work hard and I work here to pay the man to do my lawn, because I will not do it. I can't.
I will. Hey, the lights. You can shut the lights off in this bitch. I ain't mowing the lawn. The lawn guy is gonna have a job. I'm keeping the economy going with my lawn man. I appreciate that guy. And you know how hard it is to find a decent guy to do your lawn. If you get one, hold on to that guy forever. So let me ask you a question, Vanessa. How do you feel about meditation? Do you meditate?
Mm-hmm.
Is it daily? Daily. Okay, good. So you're really into it. I've been trying to get Julian to meditate for months now.
And Julian, take a deep breath. You just meditated. One breath is meditation.
Right there. There you go. I meditated. But so you can stop.
I'm glad that you put it that way, because a lot of people think it's like this, especially men. Right? We'll stick on the men path. Right. So a lot of men think that it's this like foo-foo, I guess I'll use the word gay or whatever negative connotation that they put towards it. That's like you try like hippie or I don't know, like you're some vegan hippie wearing tie dye. I'm thinking about all the stuff that I've heard, because people crack on me all the time. Mm-hmm. And I got into meditation, I want to say about 5 years ago, after my first counseling session with my therapist, after I was diagnosed with depression. And she's like, do you meditate? And I'm like, bitch is crazy. I ain't gonna meditate. I gave her the, And I just so happened on the drive home, I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast and he had somebody on there, Sam something. And I can't remember his name now. But anyway, and he was talking about meditation and how he has this meditation app, and Sam Harris, because I've noted him on the podcast a couple times. He'll give you a free year of his subscription. So I remember going home and I put my headphones in and I started doing it. And honestly, like I liked it. And I don't think a lot of people realize that meditation is more about self-awareness than anything else.
You get all the answers within.
Exactly. Like it's because you're focusing on individual portions of your breathing and whether you're I didn't know that you could breathe through your chest. I didn't know you could breathe through your diaphragm. I didn't know that I can relax. Like the coolest thing that I thought that I've seen is like while I track my meditation, like with like my Apple Watch or heart rate monitor, how my heart rate drops like by 10 points as soon as I start doing it. So it would, my heart rate drops like 10 points, like, and it instantly calms me down. I know more about what's going on inside my body. And I notice where all the tension is when I start doing meditation, and I find it super fascinating, and nobody believes me. That's why I talk about it so much in the podcast. Cause I just want people to be educated. And it's not like you have to sit there and say Om for an hour. I mean, most places don't even do that shit anymore. I mean, it's still prevalent, but people just don't realize how much you can learn about yourself. Yeah, exactly. But like, no one really understands how relaxing it is.
To go on a whole like guy side. So my husband is a very sports macho kind of guy. So I am definitely a hippie, eclectic soul that he sometimes is a little like, what the hell are we doing? Like the first time I burnt sage in the house, he was like, are we smoking weed? Like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, oh my God,
witchcraft. Sage. Like, you heathen.
Yeah, literally. So, I mean, I've made him do past life regressions. I make him do meditation with me. I make him do yoga with me. Like, we do all kinds of crazy stuff over here. But it's one of those things. So when I first started doing it, he was kind of like, okay, you look crazy. Like, you're just sitting there. Like, I don't get this. But still supportive of me, which is, I think, always been the nicest thing. But he slowly started to come around, especially when, I started doing these Deepak Chopra. He's my favorite. I went to see him at the Dr. Phillips Center, not this past year, the year before, I think it was. And he went with me. And so since then, he now meditates with me, especially because Deepak gives away 21-day free meditation with him and Oprah all the time. They do it like every quarter. We listen to those a lot, especially at nighttime. But he realized how much his mental clarity, everything changed. And it's funny because we'll go through like bouts where we'll do it and then not do it. And it's like, even during COVID, we did this whole, like, we worked out for, I don't know, I think it was like 14 weeks straight or more, where we gave away free live workouts on Facebook, on Instagram, whatever. We would just go on live and do it. But what we would do is in the mornings, especially as soon as we were done, we would meditate. And what we both noticed is that the day would be longer. We would get more things done, more focus, less stress. And he's like, okay, we really need to do this more frequently. And we go through bouts of it, but it's always one of those things that we both come back to. And he, being that kind of person, was always like, I just think this is crazy nonsense. But ever since we went to see Deepak, he really understood it more then, because like what Deepak says is, you know, one breath is meditation. So even if you're just breathing in and out, like it's just a simple breath, like you're meditating right there.
Yeah.
The cool part about meditation, especially if you do it within your house, your meditation, your auric field goes out. So your family feels it. So then your family's calmer. Your family feels better. So not only are you getting the answers within, but you're giving them as well. So for meditation, there's so many different types. There's the transcendental meditation, there's yogic breathing meditations, there's guided meditations. I think it's just kind of like whatever falls with the person. I do know that for men in general, most of the time they like transcendental meditation better. Transcendental meditation is usually you're just saying a word over and over and over again. But my sister went through the training a year or so ago, but I've not done the training. But you, they give you certain words at, or I think it's like certain ages in your life. So, like I don't even know what it would be for 38, but say it was like so hum. You would just sit there and say so hum over and over and over again until your 30 minutes were up. The thing about meditation, I think, is the coolest part is that you can meditate for 1 to 5 minutes. You can meditate for 10 to 20 minutes, like whatever it is, but it's those small bouts. They lead up to such a bigger outcome. Cause even like now, like if you get like, my husband always gives the example now to everyone, cause we've been talking to a couple people recently about this. And he's like, I can drive the car and someone can almost swerve and hit us. And I just stop. I take a deep breath. And he's like, instantly my heart rate is dropped. I'm back to normal, even keel, like nothing's bothering me versus before I meditated, before I worked on my breath work, that would happen. And it would take me an hour to calm down. Cause my, it's called your EPOC, which is, it's called your excess post oxygen consumption. So it's your heart rate, like going through like a, like a roller coaster. Yep. So now that your EPOC is calm, it's easier because you're like, oh, I can regain my thoughts. Yeah. But I think, Julian, do you struggle with it just because of like your thought process, or do you struggle with it because of the breathing? Like, you don't know.
I have no idea.
So I would simply just work on you like breathe and inhale for like a count of five and then exhale for a count of five. Like that's the biggest thing. Especially if your mind is going really crazy, inhale slow, exhale even slower. That will slow you down more.
That's fine. And with me, what it is a lot of, like with my bouts of depression, like, you know, I've done a lot of like belly breathing. Just kind of calm me down. And I know that the breathing techniques, it just keeps me from wanting to, I don't know, choke somebody. Because of my particular career field, which it's a lot of things. I know that it's a positive thing. I just haven't tried it.
I was about to say, because you really haven't tried to do it.
I haven't tried to do it. And it's not because I don't have time to do it, because I have time to do it. Yeah. I just haven't done it.
I think the best advice I can give you or anybody, I tell people all the time, if you want to try it, I would try doing it before you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Right? Because there are some sleep focused meditations. I know that I fall asleep faster now that I have focused on controlling my breathing and calming myself down. But I was probably the best, because like some people get already, like when they think of it, they already think it's a task. Like you got to sit down and like your legs crossed, right? Folded. I can't sit like that Indian style because I'm not flexible at all. I'm working on it, but I can't.
Don't say that, because that's what'll
I'm working on it. I'm working on
my flexibility.
I'm working on my flexibility. It's not going quickly, but I'm working on it. It's funny because my wife did not believe that I couldn't touch my toes. And I'm like, my toes have not met my hands in probably 25 years. Like I have always been super unflexible, but I have goals now. I would try when you're about to go to sleep, because it's usually the most calming time, right? It's quiet. Like your wife is probably trying to go to sleep too. I don't know. Do you guys sleep with the TV on, Julian, or no? So you have to say no, so people can hear that you're saying no because we can't do sign language, pie language. you should try putting on some headphones and just drowning out noise. Like it doesn't even have to, like I would find like something instrumental to listen to, and you can just
look up honestly.
Hertz
what is
it? Hertz like the car rental place.
Yep. HERTS, and they're called Beats. Hertz beats are kind of like brainwaves. So you have, you know, your theta and brainwaves and things like that. So when you're listening to Hertz beats, they can help. I know this sounds like I'm out there, I'm hippie craziness, but it can actually help with like rewiring your brain and help clean up your brain. Like as far as your output, your input, the things you're observing or not observing, absorbing. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. But it will help with all of those. That's just like, kind of like, I have salt lamps all over my house. Same thing, because those
help. Do you like those? Do you find those helpful?
So they're really good for allergies, asthma, eczema. They are actually really great for electronics. If you have a lot of electronics in your house, because you're releasing negative ions that your body is absorbing. And so people don't realize how much you're absorbing with those negative ions, which is making you tense, which is making you tighter. It's kind of like if you wake up in the morning and you put on the news, right? You absorb whatever they just put out. So now you're going to be tense. You're going to think about all those things that you've heard from the morning time. Or if you watch the news right before bed, same thing. Like you're absorbing that. So you're thinking about it. So your subconscious is now going on that repeat reel. So you don't get as good of a night's sleep. So I have salt lamps. I thought they were kind of crazy too in the beginning, but then the more that I've had them and the more that I have them probably the past 10 years. Is there one
that you particularly recommend? Because they sell them like everywhere now. Like you can find them on a sale rack on Bed Bath & Beyond.
So before we continue, when you say salt lamps, are you talking about like the pink Himalayan salt lamp?
Yeah, and you can literally lick it and it's salt.
Oh, really?
It's literally salt.
So here's the thing. Like, there's a couple of things that I completely avoid as just a, I don't want to say a mantra, but just a pattern in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't watch the news. As a matter of fact, I don't watch TV
pretty much. That's a really good thing.
Right now, the only thing that I'm watching is NFL, because it's finally back on.
There you go.
But like, I don't watch the news. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. Now, I know that I have sleep issues because I have sleep apnea. But
if you worked on your breathing, it would help with your sleep apnea.
So here's the thing. Now, I'm not discrediting anything that you guys are saying, but I'm probably going to credit. One of the things that I do have is that I have a bad issue with grinding my teeth when I sleep. Mm-hmm. I have a mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. Recently, I've actually gone back to actually using the fucking thing. And it causes my mouth to actually shut. Mm-hmm. And I sleep and I breathe more through my nose as opposed to my mouth.
Right.
And I haven't had those from my wife. Hey, roll over.
The snoring?
Because I'm...
Have I had this conversation with you? I don't know if you've heard this before, but you know there's a whole science behind like breathing through your nose and not mouth breathing?
I've had the conversation to the point where I know that at one point I mentioned in the podcast that my wife said, if you don't put on the damn mask, I will let you just swallow your tongue. But I know that conversation has come up, but as of late, I've actually haven't had those because I've been wearing that very uncomfortable mouth guard, so I don't grind my teeth. But it forces my mouth to stay shut, so I'm breathing more through my nose as opposed to, you know, mouth breathing.
Yeah, no, but like there was a guy on Joe Rogan's podcast talking about breathing through your mouth. That he went 30 days where he plugged. You saw the episode, didn't you? We were talking about that. He plugged his whole nose so he would just breathe through his mouth for 30 days. And he gained like 17 pounds. His blood pressure was like went up like 15 points. He started getting, I think he went into AFib. I think he got an irregular heart rate or something like that. It was insane. I was like, I didn't even know any of that stuff. Like, I know that it's not bad because I have sleep apnea as well. And I have a CPAP machine that I don't use, but it's gotten, since I've lost a lot of weight, I've gotten a lot better at the snoring in the middle of the night and sleeping a little better. But yeah, absolutely, dude. Like, it's really important. Like, people don't really know first off, sleep is super important, but just breathing in general.
In yoga, we say breathing, your nose is for breathing, your mouth is for eating. Because we always are trying to discourage people from breathing through the mouth. Now, in Pilates, it's completely different, which is a little challenging for me at times because I have to remind myself where I'm teaching. But But in general, the more that you focus on breathing in and out through the nose, because two, it's going to help you get into your deeper diaphragm, you go into your belly breathing, and then you go into your three-part breathing where you're breathing, you know, your chest, your ribs, your stomach, which is wrapping you. So it's like your core set that's holding you together, which is like your whole core. You're breathing through there. So you're being able to calm yourself more, and you're actually starting to regulate even your intestines, your gallbladder, your appendix. Like, people don't realize like how much that all plays a factor because of your breathing. Crazy.
Well, that's definitely something I really need to look into, because I also suffer from like digestive issues. I have diverticulitis.
Yeah.
Which is very painful.
Yes.
If I don't stay on top of it. So, okay.
Yoga would be good for you. I'm just going to throw it out there. But it's just the more that you just start to relax your mind and realize like it doesn't have to be a certain way. I think that's the biggest thing, especially with meditation and thinking about the whole breathing thing, is like, how am I supposed to breathe? How is it supposed to be? Like, my mind supposed to be still? Well, if your mind is still, you're technically dead, because you're, like, everything stops. So it's really just about like slowing everything down. And the more that you slow everything down, the more intuitiveness you'll get. It's weird. Like I tell people all the time, like I get information all the time. Like I will get like I call it downloads. Like I just hear stuff in my head, of like, oh, well, you need to work on your diet more, or you need to work on this. And like, it was crazy, because right before COVID, I kept telling my husband every time I meditated, I came out of it, I was like, I don't know what we're supposed to do, but I keep hearing like, we're supposed to take care of ourselves physically. If we take care of the physical, the mental will be okay. If we take care of the physical, the mental will be okay. And I kept repeating it over and over. And he was like, okay, so what, are we supposed to work out like 2 times a day? I'm like, I don't know. I guess so. Like, yeah, like, but this is what I keep hearing. And then COVID hit. And so we were like, all right, let's just work out, because this is what's going to help us get through. And it literally has. It's been our like saving grace, because it's the thing we look forward to. It's the thing that helps us the most, because we're technically breathing and we're working so much on that, that the mental monkey mind, like I like to call it, can't go crazy and make you think terrible thoughts or make you feel depressed or whatever, because you're in movement, you're in action.
Well, I mean, and even with that, I mean, there's a lot of scientific fact behind it. As long as you keep your body healthy and you keep it in tune, just like any other machine, like a car, if you keep your car good, you know, you do the oil change and things like that, you're not going to have any problems. It's the same thing with the human body. As long as you keep it in check, you keep it healthy, you do your exercising and things like that, then, you know, everything else is going to kind of fall into place, even with the mental portion of it. So no, I mean, it's not weird or anything like that. And especially now when we're talking about these pre to during and even these post COVID days, I mean, I think one of the biggest patterns that we've seen is that whole mental health thing, because people are remanded to home and maybe they're having those COVID snacks and things like that, and they're just not generally taking care of themselves, you know, taking care of their temple, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's 100%. If
you
want to say,
your body is a gift. You're only given once in one of them in this lifetime, right? So,
and the problem with us, like with Orlando and I, for many years, instead of treating our bodies like temples, we treated them like our amusement parks. Yeah, so yeah. We're just kind of coming
up. Listen, I was on a serious amusement park for a while.
Yeah.
Oh no, I mean, and I got it, but I mean, a lot of it. I mean, a lot of people that really don't understand the correlation between the mind and the body, just how, you know, you got to keep one and the other one working, and you got to do that maintenance fluidly. So, you know, during my time in the Army, the whole thing was the physical. We had to run, we had to do all this stuff and all this stuff. But, you know, a lot of times I felt like we fell short on the mental well-being. Mm-hmm. Now, the military in general has done a lot of overhauls in that aspect. But what I'm saying is, you know, one of the things is that it's just not one. You got to do the other one as well. Yeah. So
that means you're going to start meditating, I mean, Julian?
believe it or not, in the last couple of weeks, I actually started doing something. I guess maybe it could be considered a form of meditating. I started reading again.
Yeah.
Reading high vibrational books. Well,
I started reading and I just sat there.
Audio book or like paper?
No,
book.
Like reading again.
Good.
And
what are you reading? You know, what was that? What are you reading?
We're going to geek out.
Chariots of the Gods. That's a great book. That's a great book. Good. All right.
And, you know, next thing I knew, 2-3 hours passed and I was just engrossed in the reading and I felt great. I slept good. You know, I felt tired afterwards because, you know,
dude, you can get exhausted from mental exercise, man. Like,
and that's just one of the things, like one of the things that we're very big advocates of is just mental health, but it's not just mental health. We got to keep that physical health as well. You know, you started doing the Peloton. I went into my little Instagram showing my videos, but then, you know, I just didn't want to be that douche showing themselves working out every day.
You got to get out of that man mentality.
Why do you think that's a douche way of because you're just recording yourself doing videos?
Because I was recording myself working out and maybe that's just another way that I just need to reprogram myself because, like, a lot of times for many years, I thought, look, listen, if you're recording yourself working out and if you're not falling face first on the treadmill, I don't want to see it.
So it's funny because Julie and I talked about this, I think, on our episode about body image, how he's like, something that I do that he would never do is that he would never post a video with like his shirt off, right?
Mm-hmm. Never.
And
never.
I don't have a sculpted body. I mean, like, if there's a definition of a dad bod, I've got that. I got it going on pretty good. At least then I'm starting to shape up a little bit now. But anyway, but like, I tell people all the time, like, you should be proud of your body, right? Like, I've never had like an insane body. Like, I never look like The Rock or Jason Statham or Mario Lopez, whoever has chiseled bodies. But, you know, like, it's your body, right? But I think it shows, first off, your confidence in yourself, that if, you know, like, when I work out, like, I don't work out to be cute or to be pretty. Like, I sweat with emotion. Like if I eat a sandwich, I sweat. Like, I'm a sweater by nature. It doesn't look pretty. So I pale, my body turns pale. I'm like, I got that glazed donut look going all over my body. Like, I am a hot mess when I work out. And I share, especially now, I share the photos for two reasons. One, for me, right? Because I want to document the work I put in. And two is to show people like you, Julian, that look, it doesn't matter. Like, what, get out of your own head, right? We talk about that all the time, Julian, right? Move out of our own egos and show people that there's normal people out there struggling and get it. Like, when I see people working out, especially on Instagram, like, I don't want to see those fit people because they obviously know how to do it. They're fit. I want to see those people who are 50 pounds. They got stretch marks. They're fucking suffering on lifting weights. That's what I want to see. I want to see that hard work.
You mean that, like, this guy with the sweat?
Yeah, just like that. That's the stuff I want to see because that shit motivates me. Because I'm like, yo, if this dude can do it, I could do it. Or like, you know,
I don't know. Maybe that's just a mental block for me. Like, even, I mean, that's always been me. Like, right now, if I was to take off my shirt, I look like I have a white undershirt just permanently because it's just that farmer's tan. You know, I got like completely white up to here and all that shit like that. I've just never been very comfortable. So, like, even when I did those videos on Instagram of me working out, I completely went out of my comfort zone.
But you went back into the comfort zone. Got to get you.
that gets
no,
you.
No, 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 no. See, here's the thing. I'm still working out. I'm just not posting it.
Got to post. I want to see it. If it's not on Instagram, it didn't happen. I don't believe you. You're a liar.
But in the same breath, like, it's you documenting. And then two, it's how do you improve where you need improvement unless you see it?
That's true, too. That's a good way to look at it.
I got a Puerto Rican wife to tell me.
Well, you see, fat. You tell her she's be your support system and say you're doing a good job.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
When I first started using my Peloton bike, I posted a time-lapse video of me doing a ride, and somebody reached out to me. Like, he shot me a DM, and he's like, bro, he's like, you're too low in the bike. Like, he like sent me like eight different things. And honestly, at first I was kind of mad. I was like, this motherfucker, why are you all up in my shit, man? But then I was like, but maybe that's why, you know, I wasn't feeling it in my glutes when I was working out, or like my lower back was getting tight while I was working out. So like, I honestly step-by-step followed exactly what he told me to do. And my Lex ride was my best performing ride since I had owned the bike, and my back stopped hurting. So I'm like, all right. So, but like, that's the type of stuff, like that's the type of feedback that you gain from putting yourself out there. Don't get me wrong. And you could put yourself out there for ridicule, right? Because we all know that there's haters out there. People will say stupid shit to you on social media. I mean, Julie and I have had people send us dumb shit because we come up in a promotion or a feed, and they're like, this is stupid, get it off my timeline and stuff like that. But, you know, it's still out there. But, you know, you need to be confident in what you do. So, you know, it's cool to put out there. Let people see the effort that you're putting into something, because I think people appreciate that, especially if it's real. If it's not like you go and you spray mist yourself with some water and you hold like a soccer ball and you pose, you're like, ah, this is great. You know, people can see through that bullshit.
And this thing, it's funny because you mentioned that.
Did you spray yourself down with oil before you?
No, I did not spray much. You know, but there's people that I follow and I watch them and they're exercising. But, you know, I'm talking about like a Phil Heath, Kyle Green. I'm like, really, bro? We know. We got it.
I got
you know, Branch Warren and all that stuff. And I'm like, why am I watching this?
I got a good friend who posts himself in the gym all the time, and he always talks about how he's trying to improve his biceps, and his biceps is like the size of my 27 inch monitor here. And I'm like, bro, how many more, like, do you want your biceps to have biceps? Like how I think stuff like that is funny, but anyway, but you know, I mean, it's, you're always going to fight either humor or someone's going to hate on you or whatever the case.
100%. But social media does.
Absolutely.
But I would post it. You have to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I haven't really, it's been a while since I posted something of me physically working out, but I gotta get back on it.
No, I see the Peloton.
Yeah.
I did this.
Oh, yeah, because they made it easier for you to share the workout now, so... But, you know, it's good. I mean, I get a lot of traction. People always, I get at least one person a week to ask me about the bike, about Peloton, at least once a week.
And see, here's the thing. It's funny because my brother has one. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've always talked about, you know, he struggled with type 2 diabetes. He was Orlando Medoma at one point. My brother's not a little guy.
Big dude.
My brother is a big motherfucker. And, but he struggled with some health issues and he bought a Peloton bike and he's lost like 85 pounds. I was like, I saw a picture of him and I was like, whoa.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Where the fuck did all that go?
It's a lifestyle.
And he's like, yeah, it's a lifestyle, but you know,
I do it.
Doing the work from the inside out. Yeah.
So Vanessa,
I have a mongoose.
You have a mongoose. So Vanessa, please tell our listeners where they can follow you, where they can keep track of you, and about your podcast, the whole nine yards.
So you can follow me on social media, either Facebook or Instagram at Vanessa Cutting. It's like cutting paper. You've always want to add an S for some reason. I don't know why. And then I have a podcast, which you can find on Apple Podcasts, Google Google Podcasts, right? And then Overcast, there's Spotify, but it's called Wellnessa. It's a play on my name. So it's Wellness and Nessa put together. But yeah, it's over there. But if anything, you can always find it. Everything is located on my blog at vanessacutting.com.
I think this is a good stopping point for today's episode. Again, if you guys want to follow Vanessa and see what she's up to and her fitness journey, as well as maybe even partake in become one of her clients, I'll make sure that everything's in the show notes for you guys to be able to follow her. If you want to keep tabs with us here at the crew on Invincibly Broken, you can always go to www.invinciblybroken.com. And you can sign up for our newsletter there. Our library of past shows is on there as well as my blog and Julian's blog. If this is the first time listening to our podcast, please make sure you hit the subscribe button. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, on all the podcasting places that you can possibly find a podcast on. Your boys are there. And you can also follow us on social media. You can follow by simply searching Invincibly Broken on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to follow me personally, you can follow me at Invincibly_Orlando.
And you can follow me at Invincibly_Julian.
And guys, thank you so much for listening. Till next time, go out, crush your goals. Have a great night.
Good intro.
See? There you go. Boom. I was focused. I was like, I'm not going to fuck this up.